Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the On the Pony Express podcast. I am Billy Embody. Thanks for listening. We have got a fun show for you guys today. As you guys can see, I'm not alone on this one, so you guys are in luck. You don't have to just listen to me. We've got somebody who is very familiar with joining me on our podcast, and that is Brandon Seho. New venture for both of us this year as SMU takes on Cincinnati for yet another time. So happy to have you back on the Pony Express podcast, man. Thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here, Billy, or as we call each other, Bob. Do you give people the rundown of like how we know each other, or do we just do this as professionals?
Do we do this every year? Brandon and I did meet covering LSU. Long story short, we ended up rooming together in Baton Rouge for a few years, and obviously our paths continued on the same track, in a sense that we, are either on the same beat or covering teams that play each other and things like that. So it works out pretty well for us, I'd say.
Yeah, it's fun. And then sometimes I go to Dallas, you come up to Cincinnati, I get into some good food, you get into some Skyline. It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, Skyline's another thing. There are plenty of other places we enjoy in Cincinnati, but we do the trading of city, our city's best, I guess. We take in all the food and all the not all the drinks, but plenty of that too.
A lot of them.
Yeah. Well, let's get into what you're here for. Talk about Cincinnati Bearcats. Obviously, a team that went to the college football playoff last year. Very different roster, but it's still a Luke Fickell-led team. They're still very, very good. One of the best teams in the conference. So. And tell me a little bit about this year's version of the Cats and what you kind of have seen for them covering them so far.
Well, this season, like you said, they're coming off the greatest season in their history at the University of Cincinnati. You lose 9 players of the NFL draft, including quarterback Desmond Ridder, running back Jerome Ford, obviously 3 guys in the secondary. So a lot to pick back up and try to – they're not going to repeat. But it's not a rebuild. Coach Fickell calls it a reload. And they were this close to winning the opener at Arkansas. Quarterback Ben Bryan had a couple overthrows, but they were still in it in the fourth quarter, lost by a touchdown. This team's still pretty good. They slipped up a little bit against South Florida. We're losing a lot of that game on homecoming. As you know, those homecoming festivities can sometimes get the best of not just the fans, but the distractions that come for some of the students and the coaching staff. So this team, 5-1. I think they could be 6-0. They should have beat Arkansas, as we're seeing now. Arkansas is starting to fizzle out a little bit. They're 3-3, I think. So still a very, very lethal team, but we've seen they can be beatable. But like you talked about, a Coach Fickell team, really aggressive, really sound in most games, going to be a tough challenge for the Mustangs.
Well, and another thing that, you look at this team, and Coach Fickell's talked about it a little bit this week, where SMU and going on the road to face any team in the conference, but especially a team with some firepower for the most part that SMU has, you're going to have a battle. Cincinnati escaped kind of in a way, the way Luke Fickell, talked about it 2 years ago. That game just kind of spiraled for SMU in the fourth quarter. We could see a similar result, but, it was a one possession ball game, I believe, going into the fourth quarter. And then you had the big Desmond Ridder run. He escapes, makes a huge play. And then Cincinnati's kind of in business from there, and SMU kind of had to press, and it just kind of fell apart. This Cincinnati team does look a little bit more beatable. Ben Bryant's been very good. He's got the tools, but he's also thrown some interceptions. Still, this skill position group that Cincinnati has is going to be one of the better ones all year that SMU's faced.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Billy. I mean, that's the one thing that Luke Fickell has been able to get. And mainly it started on the defensive side of the ball. The kids he recruited, those high-level kids from what he calls the state of Cincinnati within a 90-mile radius of the University of Cincinnati. But now you're starting to get some really, really good skill players on offense too, whether it be a transfer like Jerome Ford, who now has gone to the NFL playing for the Browns. But that wide receiver core, the running back core, I mean, you got Corey Kiner. He's a Cincinnati kid. Mr. Football in Ohio 2 years ago. He goes to LSU, then transfers to Cincinnati. But they have a whole running back room, wide receiver room that is deep. So the hurt there is obviously losing a guy like Desmond Ridder, an NFL quarterback, a 4-year starter, the fourth most winningest quarterback in college football history. But on the flip side, we kind of talk about Ben Bryant going to Eastern Michigan. It's like he went to the minors, went to AAA, played there at Eastern Michigan for a year. Now he's back as him and Evan Prater battled. And Prater had some playing time last week because – or 2 weeks ago before the bye because Ben Bryant got knocked out of the game with a concussion, ends up leading UC to a win over USF in a tough game. So you could see more packages where Evan Prater comes in, but I think Ben Bryant will be healthy, ready to go, and be the starter here on Saturday.
And as always, he's got skill position players to dish it out to and you know, still make plays. This defense, always a challenge to face. They're so aggressive. And the leader of that group is Ivan Pace. I mean, we know what Cincinnati had last year, especially, you know, with Sauce back there. But Ivan Pace seems to really be one of the best defensive players in college football right now.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. He has been one of the best players in college football. Ivan Pace, you know, he plays with his brother Deshaun, and they both start. They're Colerain High School products, a big powerhouse here in the Cincinnati area. And Ivan has been not just meeting but exceeding expectations for that defense. I mean, he just flies around. I've seen, and so have you, a lot of great high school and college athletes. He's one of those guys that on Saturday, Billy, when you're inside the stadium there in Dallas, you're going to notice him every play. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's physical, and he's like a magnet to the ball. I've never seen a guy, maybe not never, but there's very few times you see a guy that's just a magnet to the football like Ivan Pace is. He is so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and you look at this defense, you know, giving up about 21 points a game. Nobody's really kind of gotten a hold of them and, you know, for the most part, embarrassed them. Not surprising. What's been the key with some of the turnover that they have had to keeping that still high level of play where opponents aren't really able to get much going offensively? Sure, part of it here and there is you know, just that Luke Fickell, you know, scheme and you know, Coach Tressel. But what are they doing so well this year?
I think part of it is they rotate a lot, especially up front. They mix it up, and that's been the staple at Cincinnati with the scheme since, you know, Luke Fickell got here with Marcus Freeman, and now Coach Tressel's, you know, and Fickell are working on that together. But so you got guys that come in and they're 3 or 4-star guys that start playing as freshmen. And so they get that experience just being situational, whether it be third down, goal line, special teams. So when you do lose a guy like Sauce Gardner or Myjai Sanders up front, you have dudes that have been there before, just not that frequent, where they get in there, they're comfortable, they're ready to go. But I mean, we already talked about some of them. Ivan Pace is brother to Sean. Arquan Bush is a guy who is a potential draft pick for Cincinnati in that secondary. Javon Hicks is another kid from Colerain High School. So you have 3 kids from the same high school in Cincinnati on this starting defense. But then up front, you have Juwan Briggs, Jabari Taylor. I mean, these dudes are guys that played a lot last year and rotated in. Even, you know, Juwan started. So they lost a lot, but still there's just a wealth of talent. You know, being in the recruiting game, when you can recruit at a high level like Luke Fickell and his staff has done, you're able to just, like I said earlier, not just rebuild, but reload.
And, you know, when that defense just sets the tone so well for them. And, you know, last year when SMU went up there, look, things were starting to spiral out of control in Dallas a little bit, but that was an SMU team that just, one, didn't show up, didn't get off the bus in general, but then it was just extrapolated with all the mistakes and Cincinnati making some big plays. You know, the offense last year was what carried that team in a way in that game, just, you know, capitalizing. What part of the team really carries this version of the Bearcats? You know, you had Desmond Ridder as this superstar. You had Sauce Gardner as a superstar. Where is it this year that you feel like they're really, you know, playing at an elite level?
I still think it's the defense. I mean, that's how it's been at Cincinnati for Fickell's entire tenure. Now, last year, they were super explosive on offense. They could put up points with anyone besides Alabama when that happened in the semifinal game for the national championship. But I still think it's the defense. I mean, they set the tone. The offense in that Arkansas game had some struggles, but then was able to get things going. It's kind of like And I'm sure a lot of your fans and listeners and subscribers are big NFL fans too. The Bengals and the Bearcats have very similar issues where they'll start kind of slow on offense, defense keeps them in games, and then you wait for that offense to kind of like flip the switch. So I think defense is still what they hang their hat on.
Any idea of how this one plays out? I mean, I'm sure you're going to pick the Bearcats. I'm picking the Bearcats, but do you see this one as one that kind of maybe regresses more towards what we saw 2 years ago? Do you think Cincinnati's still that good that they have a chance to blow this open? Because Vegas has it right now, I think, as a 2-3 point spread.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game for most of it. Probably more of that game you described 2 years ago down there in Dallas, where Desmond Ridder had that like 92-yard touchdown run to really blow it open in the fourth quarter. But you got to remember, you know, they had the bye, so Cincinnati's rested up. But Ben Bryant was knocked out of that game with a concussion. He returns to practice. Coach Fickell said earlier this week that he's hopeful he'll be there, able to play. Same with Tyler Scott, one of their skill wide receivers. They're going to play. I think that's coach talk. You've been to enough press conferences where you know that. But I feel like it could be one of those games that's like, I don't know, 21-21 going to the fourth quarter, and then Cincinnati could start to pull away. A little rusty off a bye. Ben Bryant, like we talked about, coming back from that concussion. I think Cincinnati's going to win, but maybe by a touchdown, 10 points, not a big spread.
I agree with you. What was Arkansas's key? I know first games are kind of weird sometimes, but when you looked at that one, what was their key to getting Cincinnati, you know, a position where they weren't able to, you know, come back and win that one?
Well, they had a dynamic quarterback that was able to get to the outside and obviously burn Cincinnati with his wheels. So that was not fun against Coach Fickell. He wasn't happy about that. But penalties were huge. I mean, they got penalized for holding, false starts. I mean, penalties killed them. So if they get off the rails with that, that's something that could certainly hurt Cincinnati's chances at winning this ball game or pulling away. Arkansas did a good job at bringing pressure too on Ben, you know, those SEC fronts, and Cincinnati's, you know, they look close to an SEC team with size now, but still, when you go up against an SEC front, you saw it against Alabama. It's just different with that type of defensive line. But the key there, I mean, Ben Bryant had two or three big pass plays where he just missed, and it was game changers. So you can rattle him a little bit. Get him to overthrow, underthrow. That's going to be a key for SMU.
Well, and actually Cincinnati, I just want to go ahead and check that out. But in terms of penalty yards per game, SMU sitting inside the top 25, tied at number 25 right now, or 24 with Northwestern. Cincinnati all the way down in the 129, right next to Alabama. So very interesting. And another future Big 12 team, I guess, down there in Houston as well, ranking last in the country in penalty yards per game. So, look, that's
there's
one
a problem in Houston.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a problem in Houston. When you go on the road, you can't – and SMU saw this with turnovers, but also penalties, same kind of story. You can't get yourself behind the chains with penalties. You can't give away free first downs. And, you know, for Shee Rice plays, he's been battling that turf toe. He draws a – you know, pass interference call a game or two. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's something that sets Cincinnati back here and there. Because we all know AAC officiating is the best in the land. It's the SEC of officiating. It clearly means more to the officials.
I will not miss the American Conference officiating at all, whether it be football or basketball. That is as BS as it gets. I can say that on here. Is that fine?
Yeah, it's fine. That's fine. You're referencing the box sports of your Chatterbox Sports. So there you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Or my initials, Brandon Seho. I got a lot of BS in me.
Yeah. You're low quality like the officiating. So there you go.
Wow. All right. Well, that'll be my last time on the Pony Express.
Yeah. Well, look, that's not true. But we will have you back on for basketball season. Gearing up for one final run, it looks like, here with SMU and Cincinnati in the same league. Hopefully, honestly, both teams can figure out a way to maybe play a little bit in the non-conference, because it's definitely been a fun rivalry, not as much as fun fun is late for SMU, but look, it's been fun. We'll see if we have you on next football season, but probably not. And look, it's been fun having you on. Thanks for doing this, Brandon, and congrats on the new gig at Chatterbox Sports. Check them out, Brandon Seho on Twitter, guys.
Thanks so much, Billy, and maybe we'll do the live podcast in Dallas for basketball season for the basketball game.
Bring it on, bring it on. We'll get a whole setup. We'll go to Milo's or Barley House or
What's the margarita place before the game?
Banditos. Yes.
Yeah, that was dangerous.
Yes, that was very, very but dangerous.
In a good way, though. We had fun.
Yeah, we had fun. We were safe. Ubered everywhere, and you know, Brandon certainly had a lot of cheer about that SMU Cincinnati basketball game there. All right, guys, thank you guys for listening to that interview with Brandon Seho. On the other side of this break, we'll be back with more, going to preview the rest of the game against Cincinnati, share some notes on SMU side of things. But for now, thanks so much, Brandon Seho, for joining us, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Sounds good, Billy. Thank you.
All right, everyone. That was Brandon Seho joining the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed that interview with him. We're going to talk a little bit more about SMU heading into the Cincinnati game. Some big things to kind of watch as this one gets ready to kick off 11 a.m. Central inside Ford Stadium. The Mustangs going to have to potentially do it without Rashee Rice. He is, right now, questionable, I would say, for this football game. Wasn't at practice on Wednesday when we were out there. Is dealing with that turf toe. He has been able to play through it. I will say that. He's had it for a couple weeks now. Rhett Lashley made the joke on his radio show that against Navy with his big reception, he probably would have scored if not for, you know, what he's been dealing with there. And so, hopefully, if you're SMU, they're able to get him some more treatment, get him some more time with the trainers to get that foot healthy. It's obviously something that is just brutal to have to play through. I mean, it's a nagging type of injury and situation for guys to play through. And as an explosive player like Rashee Rice, obviously very difficult to deal with. So Rashee Rice, I would say questionable right now for this game. Some other injury updates of note, though. Linebacker Jimmy Phillips, who exited the Navy game early. He had a nagging injury, it sounds like, that he just wasn't able to play through. He's practiced all week. He looks like he's going to be good to go for this one. And another player who SMU needs on their defense is Jimmy Phillips. You know, Navy certainly was able to be contained for the most part, but Rhett Lashley talked about it a lot. Scott Simons talked about it a lot. You lose one of your key linebackers, you lose a guy in that rotation who's going to play a lot of snaps. That can affect guys, especially late in the game. You look at the fourth quarter, where guys are at physically. That's a tough one sometimes to overcome. So Jimmy Phillips looks like he's going to be back against Cincinnati. That'll be really, really important. They'll have to defend, you know, guys like Corey Kiner in that backfield for Cincinnati. Ben Bryan isn't necessarily the runner that Desmond Ridder was, but SMU's going to need Jimmy Phillips. On the flip side of things, Bo Corrales is going to join Jake Bailey, is what it sounds like. On the quote-unquote IR, out for the year, tried to play through that shoulder and just could not. So we'll see if he's back for an extra year. He could get a medical redshirt and play yet another year. But also worth noting, he's been through a lot injury-wise. So he's out there practice supporting the guys, but that'll allow some other players more opportunities to step up. Calvin Wiggins was in red this week after getting hurt on that drop. Touchdown that he could have hauled in against Navy. We'll see if he's able to go, but he was practicing this week. He's somebody that, look, has to step up, has to find a way. I don't know if he'll get as many opportunities now, but he's got to step up when given opportunities. You've got Rashee Rice. If he's out, makes it even more important. But then you've got, all right, Moochie Dixon, Jordan Curley, Roderick Daniels, Dylan Goffney, all who stepped up last week and made an impact. So did Austin Upshaw with one key catch. The tight ends are going to get a boost. It looks like Nolan Matthews-Harris was a full go at practice all week. He's another guy. Hasn't been able to stay healthy this year. It's been unfortunate for him. He was looking to, you know, really break out this year and step up as, you know, the next key tight end for SMU. RJ Maryland, who was quiet last game against Navy, this is an opportunity, I think, for him where if they can get some mismatches, maybe he makes some key plays and SMU is able to take advantage of him in the passing game. Now, looking ahead on that injury front, Marcus Bryant looks like he's going to be able to go this week, but probably a little questionable. Jalen Thomas had his best game from what Rhett Lashley has said. Is he good enough right now to keep Owen Condon out of the starting lineup? That's a big question. I think your best five is who went down there to UCF. Marcus Bryant, Joe Bissinger, Branson Hickman, who's been really phenomenal, I think, all season. Right guard, Justin Osborne, and then Jalen Thomas on that right side. So be interesting to see what SMU does if they do, in fact, have that full complement of, let's say, the six offensive linemen and then seven with Ben Sparks that they've really been playing a lot with. I think your best five, though, is the one that went down to UCF. And I think for the most part, honestly, I know SMU didn't finish offensively in that game. We've covered that a lot. But I felt like that was the best game the SMU offensive line's played all season. So let's finish up with a couple more injury notes. Looks like Trey Siggers is going to be out a while, is what Rhett Lashley said. Honestly, it just doesn't look good. He's limping around at practice. He's not practicing, but just walking around on that knee. I think he's somebody that we could be looking at a situation where, honestly, he could be done for the year. Hopefully, he can kind of get back into the later half of the conference schedule. Maybe like a Tulane game. You've then by then kind of given him a month off. They would love to have him back sooner, but it just looks like something right now that it doesn't look like he's close to playing. Velton Gardner going to be a game time decision. He couldn't go last week with whatever he's dealing with. He just wasn't able to do it against Navy. SMU would love to have him again against Cincinnati, just with his, I think, vision and just kind of craftiness. He hasn't been perfect by any means, and that's the SMU run game overall this season. It's been, you know, kind of poor, but he is probably your best option in the backfield. So if they can get him back, that'd be a big boost. He's looked good running around in practice, but, you know, you never know with some of these injuries, whatever these guys are dealing with. We'll continue to track that one as well. So with that, guys, I am going to pick SMU to lose this game against Cincinnati. I really do think it's a game that they're capable of winning. I've said this all year. I think this is a team that when they're playing at a high level, when they don't turn the ball over and they can kind of limit some explosive plays on defense, they can hang with anyone. They can beat anyone on their schedule. Cincinnati is just a kind of a different animal. They're so well coached. This year, they have not been their normal selves, I think. First of all, we talked about with Brandon about how they are the third worst team in college football in penalty yards per game. Ben Bryant has thrown at least one interception, I believe, each of the last four or five games. So most of their schedule. That stands out to me in a big way. I think if you're Ben Bryant, I mean, you know, SMU has a chance to really build off of what they did against Navy. If they can force a turnover or two, win the turnover margin, that's your roadmap to success if you're SMU. Rashee Rice playing would be huge. Getting a little bit of the run game going would be huge. And like I said, making Cincinnati earn every yard defensively would be massive for SMU. So I am going to pick Cincinnati. I would kind of look dumb if I didn't. But I will say, I think SMU is very capable of winning this game. I'm going to pick Cincinnati to win this one 35-31. We'll say, if this game's close, I love what Colin Rogers is doing lately. Who knows? He could be the guy to get the tap to attempt a game-winning field goal. And, I mean, after that 46-yarder last week, he's got a lot of confidence. I have a lot of confidence in him to make that kick if he's called upon. So we'll see how it goes. Going to be a beautiful day in Dallas. Fun day for homecoming. The parade gets going at 8 a.m. if you are hitting campus. So get there early, or honestly, you know, get dropped off far away if you're getting there around the time of the parade. Traffic will probably start to back up as the boulevard will be closed a little earlier than normal. So with that, guys, hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the podcast. We got to chat with Brandon Seho, give you a look at this year's version of the Bearcats, and also preview the rest of the game and kind of where things are at injury-wise for SMU. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Please subscribe to the On the Pony Express YouTube page and subscribe to ontheponyexpress.com. plenty of recruiting reactions from this game to come. So be sure to stick with us from start to finish, kickoff to the final whistle. We will have it all covered for you on theponyexpress.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the podcast, and we will catch you guys next week as we'll have plenty to talk about as SMU takes on Cincinnati and, of course, recruit reactions and things like that. So thanks for listening to this edition of the podcast, and we will catch you guys next week.